Hear ye, hear ye, Stasis Pod listeners. We have come today with a podded cast. Stasis Pod, the Rescue Bots podcast. And I be Rob.
I am ye old Jen.
And I, for some reason, be in the episode that's part of Congo.
yes, this is... This episode is two plots, and one of them is just the plot of the 1995 movie Congo.
And the other plot is, well, there's probably a better thing, but it kept making me think of King Ralph.
Yeah, King it's Ralph a little is a King good, Ralph. That's a good, I went to England one time, and I did have some spotted dick, which is like literally the only joke that I remember from King Ralph.
Hmm. Unfortunately, the closest I have been to England is having been to London, Ontario. Oh.
I've been to Oxford, New York.
Pip pip.
Yes, this is King Burns, episode 15 of season 4, the 93rd episode overall. We're getting closer to that 100th episode.
So many. How Rescue Bots has so many episodes? It's wild.
Mm-hmm. Wait, how many episodes did G1 have with the weird longer seasons back then?
90-something.
Like, okay. Like 96.
Yeah. Oh, so Rescue Bots will actually top it in episode count.
No, it'll surpass it.
Yes.
Yeah.
This first aired July 30th, 2016, and was written by Doug Molitor, who has an extensive... This is his only Transformers episode, but he has a very extensive resume in the world of animation. Dino Saucers.
Ooh, going back
wow.
To the old
times. Okay.
Police Academy The Series.
Wow.
Camp Candy.
Okay.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, the cartoon. James Bond Jr.
Wow.
So all That's... over the place.
23 episodes of Captain Planet. That Free Willy cartoon where Willy could, like, what? Talk and he fought like an evil cyborg.
What the
Does
hell?
That come up before? I do not remember. You're making that one up.
That 100% happened.
Lies.
This is entirely the point where I was just completely clocked out of cartoons except for some occasional Disney afternoon.
He wrote Vortech, which was like Mask in the 90s.
Yes, mm-hmm. I tried to bring that back, but not quite.
It was part of the Power Block.
Powering up the Power Block.
One episode of Sliders.
Extreme Dinosaurs. That Carmen Sandiego cartoon.
I remember that getting promoted a lot.
He did a little bit of live action writing stuff.
A little
too.
Bit of live action. He did. Apparently, there's a live action Police Academy TV show. He did an episode of Sledgehammer.
I remember that.
Episode of Sliders. And he did an episode, two episodes of that Young Hercules show, which starred Ryan Gosling.
Really?
Oh. Oh.
Recently seen on the Oscars. Yeah. He's just Ken.
Wow.
Yeah, oh wait. Side note, we should do a Dinosaurs episode. We haven't done that one.
We probably could. It's got a bunch of Canadians in
that's...
it.
Yeah, it's also like very much 80s in that.
Yes. And that
G1
you know, kept
spot.
Writing into the aughts, Totally Spies, X-Men Evolution.
Not Totally Spies. What fetish episodes did he do?
You would think the X-Men cartoon would be the fetish one, but no, it was Totally Spies.
I mean, they probably had some normal episodes.
Yes, I mean, they'd have to, but Vacation in Hawaii. No, it doesn't. No, maybe it is a normal episode.
Okay, then. Well, of course, with that, maybe the non-sexy episodes are not the normal episodes.
Yes, the non-weird fetish episodes are the norm. The bizarre episodes.
So this episode opens on Brother's Day.
Sure.
Sure. New holiday that
which
Burns
is a totally
up.
Real holiday that exists,
absolutely.
I guess.
Absolutely. Incredibly yeah. real. Just profoundly a thing that happens.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that all this time the chief has been keeping a gift from his brother, which is a leaf with Happy Brother's Day written on it in beetle saliva.
Yes, which he got from a Dago Bar.
The lowlands of Dago Bar.
Yes. Also, yeah. I like that when Cody retrieves this leaf, which is carefully kept and in a little jar so it won't get squished, Heatwave points out that those things grow on trees, you know.
So yeah, that's the show just reminding you that, Woodrow Burns is voiced by yes. Mark Hamill.
Yeah, which makes me feel like every previous episode probably had a Star Wars reference in it. We just missed them or didn't care because we were making other Star Wars jokes.
This is entirely
yeah.
possible.
But this one just feels like the most obvious. Like, Dagobah!
It's a little on the nose. But that's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're zooming with Woodrow for Brother's Day, you know, Woodrow's about to tell another one of his extremely long, weird stories about whatever weird animal he's been eating. But instead, he is attacked by what appears to be some sort of homicidal ape.
Peril!
And as David noted, this is exactly how the movie Congo begins. Except it's Bruce Campbell instead of Woodrow Burns.
Yes. Yeah. Bruce Campbell gets killed at the beginning of Congo.
Man, this episode really needed, like, Danny shooting a bunch of gorillas with a laser in a volcano.
Yeah, well, spoilers, she would be shooting baboons.
Much like yes. Laura Linney at the end of Congo.
Oh, wait, that does end with a volcano, doesn't it?
I have not seen that movie.
This episode is just Congo.
Yes. I didn't see it in the theater, of course, but I have not seen that movie since our cable box was acting up in the late 90s or the mid 90s, and we got one pay-per-view channel clear. We got one pay-per-view channel for free, and they were showing Congo.
Yes, as you may recall, that movie ends with acclaimed actress Laura Linney shooting a bunch of mutant gorillas with a laser inside an exploding volcano.
Mutant white gorillas.
Telling her compatriots to put them on the endangered species list.
I just want yes. to say...
This is after the gorillas have beaten Tim Curry to death.
Once again, that I fucking hate Michael Crichton so much.
Yeah.
Just on the record.
I mean, it's not his worst book, but it's not a good one.
I mean, it's not the Andromeda Strain, which I will never... God, how long has it been? I read that in high school, and I'm still mad about it.
I'm still mad about the time travel one going back to medieval times.
I think I had sworn him off.
Oh, Timeline.
I think I swore him off. That was I think I swore him off with The Lost World when he, like, brought back Dr. Malcolm. Also, I hate Dr. Malcolm because I realize I've become Dr. Malcolm, and I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, everything's terrible. Look at how smart I am to notice it.
You just have to develop those Goldblumian mannerisms.
I do. I'll see what I can do about that.
Also, it would probably help if you were, like, I don't know, 1.5 feet taller.
Yeah, well, that would help a lot of things, to be frank.
It's really going to enhance your chances of successfully romancing Gina Davis.
Have to do stretches, see how much effort I can put into it.
Anyway, so this is, again, some pretty extreme pre-credits peril. We got we got possible ape murder.
Yeah.
Well, it's just more heavily implied than we usually get.
It's definitely very perilous.
It's like live found footage of him being attacked by some hairy monster.
Yeah. So they have to go to Rwanda to get him to go to the gorilla preserve he's in. So
kudos for actually naming a country in Africa and not just referring to Africa as though the entire continent is a single country.
Or making up a country.
Also that.
I don't know.
Gorilla preserve in Wakanda.
Mark Hamill hasn't been in the MCU yet. Unless he has.
No, he's on a bunch of Marvel cartoons.
Yeah, the cartoons. I guess that.
But he hasn't done, has he not done any recent, like, he hasn't done, like, the What If stuff, probably.
No.
Well, not the What If stuff. He's in, like, some of the recent Avengers-ish cartoons. Oh. He plays Arnim Zola.
Oh!
That's a good casting.
And then, of course, he was the Hobgoblin in the 90s Spider-Man show.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
So Danny, Blades, Heatwave, and the Chief are going, and Blades is very excited because he's going to get to see a bunch of cute lion cubs who sing and a bunch of funny hyenas.
He is so excited about lion cubs who sing and the funny hyenas.
Funny hyenas, did you finish watching that movie, Blades?
Those hyenas are clearly fascists.
Yes. I mean, there's a whole song about it.
Their musical part is, yes, very fascist.
Half of it sung by Jim Cummings.
Yes. Mm. Alas, poor Jeremy Irons' voice.
Because I guess Jeremy Irons like blew his voice out halfway through doing it, and yes. I guess Disney somehow couldn't just wait, and they just had Jim Cummings, I guess, you know, probably recording some Winnie the Pooh episodes down the hall.
You have a summer date set, you have to have it done, although it takes years to make an animated movie.
I mean, well, Disney animated movie. I don't know. I was going to say they might have needed to go ahead and get the music recorded so they could do the animation for it.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, but then again, you could have just had Cummings do the fill-in and then brought Irons back when he could sing again.
I mean, it's sort of a weird situation because often with that, you know, they'll have some other actor sing for the voice act.
Yes.
Yeah, do that anyway, but then he was starting
to sing.
He
does half the sing and then is done.
Yeah. It's odd.
I mean, that sort of a similar situation occurred with, unfortunately, more serious causes in the movie Poltergeist 2.
Oh, no.
With the bad guy in that, Reverend Kane, who was played by an actor who was actually, like, dying of stomach cancer.
Yikes.
At the time, which is why he's so cadaverous looking.
I mean.
And so they had to get Corey Burton to sort of come back and record some of his lines.
I love Corey Burton.
But apparently the sound mixing was so skilled that Corey Burton, upon watching the film, couldn't tell which lines were his.
Oh, man. That's great. Now I want to watch that, because I like Corey Burton.
I mean, it's not good, but the bad guy in that is actually pretty good. It's an unsettling performance. But anyway, so, Boulder and Cody, you know, they're making, you know, they're picking up some trash on the beach, and they find, oh, it's a bottle with a message in it.
It's all, like, crusted with barnacles, too. They make it very clear that it has been there for a very long time.
Yeah, because they're saying that it's low tide, and they've never seen low tide, or bulkheads never seen low tide there.
Never seen the tide that low.
And it contains
low.
A message from the Joker. I mean, it's Mark Hamill, but he's kind of doing a Joker voice.
It's a very Joker-y. I mean, it's extremely, like, when in Robots in Disguise, when they would have whoever their special guest voice for the episode also do, like, a random side role like this. It's kind of like that.
Yes. And he's playing King Charles I, actual historical personage.
Yes.
Well, yes, because there had to be a previous Chuck before the current Chuck.
That's right.
Well, maybe not current Chuck by the time this episode comes out.
Everyone was so mad he didn't die on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it would be so freaking good.
He is the third Chuck.
Yeah, because Charles II
is the
famous.
We're talking about the first Chuck, and then there was a subsequent Chuck II.
Yeah.
Who was king during the Restoration.
Yeah.
And was fairly well regarded as far as a king goes.
Yes.
Anyway. So, and he, upon the founding of Gryffindor, he made Gryffindor a protectorate of the crown, and thus Horace Burns, the ancestor of the Burns, shall be their king.
I have issues with this, because I don't think normally that's what you would dub them, like a baron or a marquis or something, but a king? Eh. Seems weird.
The important thing is this episode.
I mean, yes, but also, like, Baron Burns isn't quite as cool a name.
I mean, I guess, but, like, it's hard to think of any opportunities where King appointed a king somewhere else, unless, like, it was directly his brother, like Joseph Bonaparte. the guy who eventually ended up involved with the Jersey Devil.
Oh.
But was at one point King of Spain. And Naples or some other place.
I was the king of Spain. Sorry.
And so, of course, Cade is the most enjoyed about this because he is now the king.
Yeah, well.
Without his father here, he is now the regent.
Yes, he's the regent because his dad is currently out of country and can't be appointed. whatever. King Cade is such a wonderful, horrible idea. I feel like, the problem is both halves of this episode are really good, and I wish they were each a full episode.
Yes. So they go to the mayor, and the mayor is surprisingly enthusiastic about this, because I guess he gets to be the prime minister.
Well, he's not cool about it first until Cade says, "You can be prime minister," and he's like, "Yes, please."
He's like, "I don't know about this whole monarchy thing." And he's like, "Well, you can be Prime Minister Lusky." And he's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
He's easily swayed.
Yeah.
The corruption is already setting in.
Well, yeah, that way he gets to be the worm tongue.
Yes.
Who doesn't want to be the worm tongue?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe instead of Prime Minister, I don't know, maybe I'm going to take a Grand Vizier or something. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but that's always ominous and goes bad for both sides.
Very few non-evil viziers.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Like, if you did a vizier now, you would have to have them be good to subvert the trope because everyone expects it to happen. So consistent. Why is vizier just so evil?
Because it's got a V. It's got a V and a Z in it.
It's true. Yes. Those are some of the most evil letters.
Yeah. I mean, it just needs like a K, especially a K where there doesn't need to be a K. That's always extremely evil, but also V's. Yeah,
just a silent K at the beginning.
Yes.
It's just like thinking like every example I could think of is basically just Jafar again.
Yeah. So anyway, back in Africa, the Burns team is blessing the rains. But they find that somebody has destroyed Woodrow's campsite again, much like Congo.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty quickly, they end up getting noogied by the friendly Stanley the Gorilla.
Yeah, which, monkey, like, oh, monkey, until they gave the monkey name, it was just like, Amy, good gorilla in my head and my notes.
Should have been named Gary. Well,
like, oh, Stanley. Stanley, good gorilla.
Probably named after Henry Stanley, who found David Livingstone. Since we the Burns family, I presume.
Yes. Yeah.
If it was Gary, then it could be named after Gary Chalk.
Well, yes.
He's pals with all these gorillas, and the real bad guys are those sinister baboons.
Everyone knows that baboons are evil.
Baboons are kind of jerks.
I will note that when we finally get some baboons on screen, they do tone down certain notable qualities of baboon anatomy.
Well,
yes,
you can't put that on a children's show. You can't put that on most shows.
No, we are not seeing their swollen red asses on television for children.
Unless you have David Attenborough calmly talking in the background.
You can't put
baboon ass on screen.
One of the fun things to do at the Columbus Zoo is just hang around the bonobos and wait for parents to have to explain awkward things to their kids.
So, you know, they offer to fly him out of there, but he's going to stick around and, you know, hang around his gorillas. However, also, this volcano looks like it's going to erupt.
So that's a problem.
Meanwhile, back in Griffin Rock, things have gotten so British that it should have been like one of those scene transitions where you cut to Griffin Rock and they play the first couple bars of Rule Britannia.
Yeah, it should have been like a British flag wipe or something.
Yeah, they're having a full-on British coronation. You got scones, you got clotted cream, you got tea. I'm not 100% sure what clotted cream is, but it always sounds terrible.
Yeah, I didn't look that part up. That didn't sound good. Scones? I don't really like scones. They tend to be too hard.
I mean, they're fine. They're a little dry.
Yeah.
I'm, of course, a big tea enthusiast.
Yes. Had to get some before the episode to loosen up my throat.
This is basically like the, it looks exactly like the booths that you see in the touristy areas of London.
Yeah, they managed to get beef-eater costumes so quickly.
They need to be selling thongs that say, mind the gap.
I mean, I feel like we're half the people on this island already royalists just waiting for the opportunity.
Apparently.
It's entirely possible.
I mean, everyone is so fixated on actual royal news. My ancestors fought a war, so we wouldn't have to care what the British monarchy thought of anything.
Yeah.
I can't say much here because we do still put them on our money.
Maybe.
I mean, who else are we going to put on there?
Well, yeah, you're going to put the new guy on the money right before he dies.
Hey, they'll be collector's items.
I actually checked with my my genealogist sister on that. I was like, our ancestors weren't monarchists, were they? And she was like, one of them got defenestrated by, in the process of running away from royalists. So, yeah, they were not royalists. Mm. Out the window.
In fact, a bunch of Canada's population are what they call loyalists, which were Americans who fled America after the revolution because they were still loyal to the British crown.
Yeah.
Well, y'all can keep them.
We did.
For hundreds of years.
I mean, that definitely includes some of my ancestors as well.
I guess we can still be friends.
With your last name, yes. I would assume so. You liked them so much you took the name of their town. Anyway, why do I have a note that says hot dog?
I think my last name comes from Hessians. Anyway.
My last name is Dutch for some reason, but no one that we know of is directly Dutch. It's weird.
Well, you could be like in my family where it turns out sometimes people had sexual relations outside of their marital
Yes.
Anyway,
where were we? Something about hot dogs.
So Cade gets crowned, although he gets crowned with a...
A tiara from some milk-churning thing?
It looks like a Burger King crown.
Yes, it turns out it is from the Miss Maple Syrup pageant.
Oh, Maple Syrup.
Oh, no, the one they have earlier looks like a Burger King crown, yes. This one is clearly a tiara.
Yes.
And Graham points out that this just can't be legal.
Yes. And also Huxley Prescott is reporting on this whole thing, and he also hates tea.
Yeah, Huxley's not doing so well.
Yes, Chase goes full royalist.
Oh yeah, Chase. Chase just becomes loyal to the monarchy very quickly.
Yes.
Also, he anoints Kate in oil.
Yes, from a friar.
Yes, it's got a picture of French fries on the side.
There's so many just weird comments. Like everybody gets good stuff in here, but my favorite is Bulkhead. I want to be emphatically that how sorry I am for finding that charter in the first place and causing this mess.
I do just really love Graham's. This just can't be legal.
Mm. So Bulkhead goes to the library to solve the problem he caused.
And meanwhile, Arcade turns out to be a monarch after David's own heart as he proclaims it to be a Humongado week at the drive-in.
Yes!
I mean, for his first decree, I am behind him.
However, he does have a date that does not go well. It turns out she's really more of a Republican.
Yeah. Well,
in the Republic sense.
Yeah. Yes, she doesn't believe in a ruling class.
As he says when the others come up and ask what happened.
After he ends up wearing a popcorn bucket.
She doesn't believe in a ruling class.
So he decides, Graham, you can be king.
Yeah. Yes, it moves down the line of succession. Surprisingly easily.
Meanwhile, back in Africa, it is going to take a lot to drag Woodrow Burns away from you. And it's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. And also, they're surrounded by baboons.
Yes.
So they've got to rescue a baby gorilla, and then that leads Stanley to become chief. Much as his children have become kings of Griffin Rock, he's now king of the gorillas.
Yes. Yes, he is now King Kong after saving baby Kong.
Poor Woodrow, man. He's like, but these were my gorilla friends.
Yeah, I had
even
to spend...
Even they like my brother more.
Weeks with them learning their monkey speak, and now my brother is their king. But Volcano Day is quickly approaching.
Yeah, and yes, also now there is a volcano erupting, much like in Congo. Does this episode also have its own Taco Bell tie-in hot sauce?
Ooh, I hope so.
Yes, please.
Are we going to see Tim Curry as a Romanian billionaire, Herkimer Homolka? Is he going to eat Delroy Lindo's sesame cake? Are we going to see Ernie Hudson also with a bizarre accent?
I hope so.
It's kind
is
of
Joe
a really,
Pantoliano anywhere in this episode.
Kind of a really bad book, but that movie is delightfully good for being
possibly
bad.
Also Joe Don Baker.
Oh yeah, he was in there too. There was
Joe Don Baker is what's his name?
Packed with character actors. Bruce Campbell's dad, yes.
He's Bruce Campbell's father in that. Which I mean, I don't know about how that works genetics wise, but it's kind of amusing because they're both like kind of like big B movie guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I don't think Joe Don's that exceedingly much older than Bruce Campbell. I mean, he's
probably
older,
not a lot. The thing is, he's kind of all, been middle-aged his entire life.
Yeah.
Joe Don Baker. Anyway, so, we are trying to, we're trying to save these gorillas, but also these gorillas won't let the chief leave. So we go back to, we cut back to the kingdom of Griffin Rock, and Graham is trying to find some Solomonic solutions to the problems of the people of Griffin Rock. Got a conflict between Mr. Pfeiffer, the guy who runs the bakery, and Milo, who is kind of like a weird space cadet guy, and he just won't stop bongoing.
Well, he's kind of like Shaggy without the rest of the Scooby gang.
Or the charm.
Yeah. And just playing bongos loudly.
So he just decides that maybe they should take turns baking and drumming, which is a real stupid solution, and they call him out on it.
Yes. At which point he abdicates the throne also.
Yes. Oh, and also Huxley Prescott wants a knighthood.
Yes.
Wants to be Sir Huxley of Prescott. Luckily, Cody is a much better problem solver, and he also appoints Huxley Prescott the royal newscaster.
Which he approves of.
You know he's going to be one of those guys who like they bring on as like their royalty expert when they need to talk about you know whatever random-ass duchess is in the news?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he would be calling himself onto the news to talk about it at this point now.
Well, yes. Yeah, I bring on our expert, me. Meanwhile, back in Africa, the Blades, thanks to Blades and Woodrow, are able to, Woodrow and the Chief are able to calm the gorillas down.
By picking nits out of them while surrounded by a burning ring of fire.
Look, you do what you gotta do. That's how you calm the monkeys down, then you do it.
Oh, I wonder if that's going to be in the new Godzilla vs. Kong movie. Will Kong pick nits out of baby Kong?
Ooh. Aww. And, like, he's gorillas. He's like, you know, King Kong. So those nits are like the size of a Subaru.
It's like it's like the parasites in Cloverfield.
Yes.
Oh, yes. They're just going to blow up Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yes. Yeah.
Or whatever happens at the end of that movie.
Everyone dies and the monster screams in Central Park.
Is that Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
It's been a forever since I saw it. I don't remember anyone in that movie.
Maybe it was Lizzie Kaplan. Anyway.
There were actors.
Oh, sure. Like, noted people in that.
And a giant lion? No, the trailer lied. While people be trying to listen to that trailer. It's like the audio mix in that movie wasn't great.
That movie was a lot.
So anyway. So the chief also abdicates as, you know, Woodrow, you're going to stick around here. You should be king of the gorillas.
Yeah, by getting Woodrow to pet his head. Hierarchy of who pats whose head.
It's important. Yes. It's important to speak their language.
Yeah. And so we take our leave, and that is unfortunately a series wrap on Woodrow Burns.
Aww.
I mean, it's a fun episode to have him in it, but...
It is a fun
but
episode.
But it's a shame.
More Camel.
Well, we're running out of series, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're back in the Kingdom of Griffin Rock. Cody is having his official portrait painted. Not so well.
They're trying their best.
It's... Mayor Lusky... Well, Prime Minister Lusky is doing it. It's... not great, but it, I would have expected
it's
worse.
It's abstract.
Yes.
It's abstract. It's stylized.
I can't remember where exactly, but at one point we see the book Monarchy for the Uninformed.
Oh, no, Chase has that, doesn't he?
Yeah, oh, right, it's Chase, right.
Yeah.
I love Chase immediate, vehement monarchist tendencies.
Yes. However, Boulder is here, and he has important news. It's almost the exact same ending as that episode of The Simpsons where they find out that the city's been under prohibition. Since, like, the 30s, but then they go back and they find that they actually repealed that law
the next day.
The year after.
Oh.
And, indeed, Horace Burns never officially took the office of king, as he did not wish to rule over it. And thus his descendants are also not the king, but we all had a fun couple of days.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the chief and everybody else gets back. They have no idea what's been going on. Here comes noted delivery man and accident magnet, Jerry. And he's finally got that crown they ordered.
He does. Yes. Oh, it's super fancy.
And so he proclaims his dad to be the king.
Yes. Chief Burns is now the king.
This was an extremely silly episode, but I had a lot of fun.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like I said before, it's like I wish this was two episodes because they're two fun ideas just jam-packed in here. And it is a great episode.
It could have been two good episodes. I guess the monarchy subplot does rely on the chief being out of town, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Honestly, this would have been a great two-parter.
Yes.
Like, you just end it with the volcano starting to explode or something.
Mm-hmm. I did like at one point when, I forget whether it's when Cade gives it to Graham or Graham gives it to Cody, but Chase calls him your most recent majesty. Also, when Haley gets mad at him, Chase declares it to be treasonous.
Yes.
He was he's good in this one.
So yeah, that is it for this episode. It was a lot of fun. Are we making a visit to David's Tokusatsu Corner this week?
No, life has been very bumpy and complicated, and plus tax season, so no.
Oh, that's right. We will return.
I believe
later.
The next time we record, we may pay a visit to New Valeria with Visionaries.
Let's have a digression to Visionaries.
But it was a couple days ago because we had a bunch of disruptions going on, and frankly, my town has, according to Facebook, 13 wildfires going on.
That's a bad number of wildfires.
We will not linger too much on that this week, but next week I will start discussing Visionaries with episode 2, since we did episode 1 on our Patreon. Episode 2, The Dark Hand of Treachery.
Ooh, that's the worst kind of hand.
Yes. The fun thing about Visionaries is that all of the characters are so similar that I kept having to, like, look up toys on eBay to be like, which one is the red and the blue guy? Okay, that's Cryotech. And so, yeah, that was, but I've got it all pinned down. I know who's who now.
Yay.
All right. So we'll be back, of course, next week with more Rescue Bots. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is patreon.com/IaconUnderground. For the month of March, we are getting in the X-Men spirit with yet another episode of the original X-Men cartoon. This time we are checking in on some backstory that goes in a very different direction in this context, with the episode A Rogue's Tale, in which we hear about what the deal is with Rogue and Carol Danvers. And yeah, it turns out way sadder for Carol this time, which is, like I said, it reminds me of the last Spider-Man movie when the other two are like, you have like other, you have friends. You have hero friends.
We don't have the rights to any of them. They're just not going to be in the episode.
She does not have hero friends in this episode, and it comes out much sadder for her. But yeah, we go on for quite a while because it's ridiculously easy to just discuss X-Men for extended periods of time. So that is our March Patreon. And then for April, we are joining Nancy Reagan in remembering to just say no with our 420 special Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. Also a Rescue Bots tie-in because our buddy Cade here, what was it, James Marsden? I confuse him and the guy who was Angel and the guy who was Cyclops.
I think Jason Marsden is the voice actor. Jason James Marsden is Cyclops.
Okay. The one who is Cade is also in Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue as well.
Yes, he is. And so is George C. Scott.
Yeah. So yes, we will be discussing that next month for April. And actually, when we get done with this, I am going to go watch some X-Men 97 myself. I am very curious to see how excited I am going to be about a poor traumatized NB baby child. My baby child is traumatized, but he's putting on a good face. Literally. Anyway.
All right, but we will be back next week, and we're going to have a real pizza pie party on Griffin Rock.
Ooh. Oh, I want some pizza.
And so until then, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
Woody dis.
And fare ye well.
Lo.
Oh, yeah, and go to our Discord.
All right, I'm stopped.
Or did we already mention the Discord?